be all about you, Jesus. We command our bodies down to each individual cell to obey you, Lord Jesus, because we know you are love. We know you are life. And so I speak life into our minds and into our bodies, into our relationships. Lord Jesus, it is all about you. Holy Spirit, come and minister tonight. Lead us, certainly. You are a spirit of truth. But you also are a person. And as that person, you love to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do as well. Teach us, lead us, equip us, but come. Come. This is your church. These are your people. We pray for your presence in a powerful way tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said, amen. 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 Thank you, Galia. Yay, team. I know. That is so, so awesome. And it is so good to see John and Denise back from Bolivia. What a miracle that they made it. John or Denise, do one of you or both of you want to run up here and give us like a two-minute report? Just say hi, and you made it back. Well, you made it there, which is what we were praying for as a church, because 2 weeks ago that was not a given. And you've made it back, and they're still jet-lagged, so they just got back last night, so 24 hours of travel. How was it?
It was great. it was fun to be able to see places, but most importantly, the people, how the people live. Just grown closer to the Lord, just trusting. I'm just reminded of an old lady. She doesn't even know how old she is, but she's so old. It's true. I'm serious. She doesn't know how old she is, but
birth certificates explain that, because back two generations in my life, my family is Mexican, and same thing. There's no records, no birth certificates, no paperwork. So if you lose track, no one knows.
Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah. Anyway, I just gave her a hug and held her hand for a while, and just told her how important it was to be able to see people whom we've touched, whom we've had a relationship with, whom we've just grown close to, and so it was fun just to be able to do that.
So it was my first time to Bolivia, and the people were so warm and friendly, but I was most impressed with the legacy that John and his family left, and how they made an impact, and people still remember that, and it's still going strong. You know, it's a legacy that's still producing fruit. And
50 years, right?
60. It was 60. Yes, yes.
60 years.
So just to see the love that people had for them, and it just touched my heart.
All right. That's enough. No, thank you. It was good.
Well, so glad to have you home.
Thank you.
Yeah, and what an answer to prayer for a miracle. The visa got literally hand-delivered, I heard.
Yes, it was hand-delivered.
To you, so, which...
Then you hopped on a plane.
Then you hopped on a plane, yes. We love you guys. Glad you are home. And man, the spiritual lessons are going to keep unpacking. I know for me, one of the spiritual lessons, you know, there's a commandment, actually number 5, that says honor your mother and father, honor your parents. And that gets a lot of debate, because guess what? You know your parents probably better than anyone else, right? Including all their faults, all their issues, all their mistakes, all their sin. But God has that as a command, honor them. And I remember when I went back to Mexicali, not as far as Bolivia, for a 50-year anniversary of a church my parents started. And I know my dad's faults, and you know, I grew up without a dad. My parents were divorced when I was 5 years old, so you know, my view was not the greatest. But my experience, 50 years later, there's still Christian ministry going because of what my parents did and pictures of my father baptizing people in the hole that they dug adobe bricks to build the first building and then filled that hole with water and baptized people right there. And so God uses broken vessels. And, you know, there is a lesson in that fifth commandment for all of us. Because, all right, God, yes, we're all broken vessels, but we're going to honor each other the way, God, you love and honor us as broken vessels. And anything done in your name won't return void. Anything done in the Lord's name, there's treasure stored in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, thief cannot steal. So I tell you, it's counterintuitive to the flesh. It's counter this world. But I love our God's economy, and I love the lessons. And I'm so glad that John and Denise, you both got to be there and experience that and be part of that. I know it's going to keep unpacking those spiritual lessons, and keep sharing with us, okay, as you remember more things. And I know I put you on the spot tonight, but thank you for sharing. We have one more little bit of business. We have a small team going to a new ministry. A new ministry for us, not a new ministry, but a church in Los Angeles. Kathy and I and Marcia actually fly out tomorrow, and we're pairing up with some prayer teams that we trained in Orange County, and we're going to lead a marriage seminar for Living Free Marriage for about 20 second-generation couples. I say second-generation in that their parents were immigrants. So this is an English ministry for a Korean church. So they're the children of, grew up here. They're as American as you and I are. But struggle with all the identity issues that we all do, original design, and original design for their marriage. So I mentioned Sunday that the month of October is we're going to be stretched thin as far as leaders going anywhere and everywhere. That we kind of became a perfect storms type scenario with, I don't want to call it bad planning, but because I think the Lord knew, but we're kind of surprised by our schedule. So all that means, church, and I'm going to say this to the Thursday night crew, even though Sunday I kind of alluded to it, the call on us, we are the church. And as we're going through the book of Acts, I hope you're realizing, oh, yeah, there are several prophetic voices. Oh, yeah, they had several teachers. Oh, yeah, they had, you know, it's not just one person. So I'm trying not to miss too many Sundays, but this coming Sunday will be one that I will miss, unfortunately. But you are in good hands because we have plenty of prophetic voices, plenty of teachers. And even Galea signed up for a Thursday night in about 3 weeks, so I'm excited about that. Yeah, so, or 2 weeks? I'm not sure when it is. Okay, I'm not sure when it is. I think it's about 2 weeks out, so. Anyway, we don't like to go anywhere without you understanding what we're doing and without prayer. So, Pastor Michael, you're the closest one up front. Would you come up and pray for us? And Kathy and I will stand in. Marcia's not able to be here. She had a family responsibility tonight. But I can't say the name Tecumseh. Yeah, that's the name of the church. Say it one more time.
Tecumseh.
Thank you again. Tecumseh. I probably should learn that before I go and speak to them. Tecumseh. Thank you again, church. So that's the name of the church. They're not Korean, they're English speakers, but they wanted to keep the Korean name because they love that name. Thank you again. Yes. Yeah.
Again, thank you. Again, gratitude. So
that's cool. I love that. So it'll be a whirlwind weekend, you know, Friday night to Sunday night type ministry. So pray for us this weekend. We'll be praying for you. here. Again, you're in good hands, but could you pray for us?
Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so, if you can stand and just extend your hands of blessing. Father, we thank you always. We are acknowledging that we are your children. We are, and we are always protected by your sovereignty, and you're always keeping us. Father, you are in your sovereignty, and thank you for this prayer team, and thank you for this wonderful Pastor John and Kathy and Marcia's going over to the minister to the people, the second generation in Korean. And Father, I pray for your anointing, for your blessings, your power, your presence. Lord, I pray for you, break every bondage there, break Amen. Every soul there as captive, Amen. They're under their own imaginations and their own strongholds. Father, I pray that you will release the strongholds, release all the people who are captive. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amazing thing will happen because I know, Holy Spirit, you are there. You love them more than we do, more than any one of us do. Father, I pray for every moment, every sessions that you will pour out your blessing upon them and place and blessing upon the team. Open our eyes, open their eyes. Let everyone know that you are there. Everyone know that they will be surrounded by the chariots of fire, the angels and the cherubim. Everywhere there will be your protections and your guidance and your presence. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I guess that means me. Okay. We have a little bit of time. Okay. Anyway, let's... can we sing that I love you, Lord? Can we do that? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And I lift my voice to worship you. To worship you, oh my soul. Oh my soul, rejoice. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. One more time. I love you, Lord, all together. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And I lift my voice to worship you, to worship you, oh my soul. Oh my soul, rejoice, rejoice. Take joy, my King, take joy, my King, in what you hear. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence once again. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that speak to each and every one of us. This is your word. Father, I know it's powerful. Father, I pray that we will experience your power in your word. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Release your spirit upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so since last week we talked about our salvation is secure, we get to this page, right? All right. How many of you really believe your salvation is secure? Okay. All right, those of you who didn't lift your hands, okay, I don't know where you are, but anyway, there could be only one or two things. If you believe your salvation is secure, and if you don't believe your salvation is secure, and I'm sure you have a reason to. And a lot of people think that because of whatever we do in life, and if you do the wrong things, I was one of them. I was one of them. And if you're like me, sinners, right? And all of us, and Pastor John just prayed that we are broken vessels. We are broke. And Lord saved us from that brokenness and into his family. And you know how awesome that is? Amen. You know, as broken we were, and again, I don't want you to be too imaginative, imagining my background, you know. And if you ever seen me in the back of using days, there's none of you who will be sitting here listening to me preaching. I'm sure I wouldn't even sitting here listen to me. Anyway, and that brokenness, that hopelessness, that helplessness, God is able to save us from the pits of hell and deliver us into heaven. And that would be amazing. But after that, he called us friend, family, and sons and daughters. I mean, that is amazing. That's why the gospel is so awesome, you know? Anyway, let's think about this. And I as time permits, I think I have a little bit less than 15 minutes or so. And I'm not sure, well, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes? Anyway, whatever the time allows, there's many verses in chapter 5, but it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to cover everything. But I'm just going to read it to the first 5 verses, and let's see how far we can get. If you want, you can read with me the verse 5 verses and begin. Therefore, you can read with me. Begin. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. All right, that's the first 5 verses, and it's packed with this amazing facts. And did you know, I preached through in the Korean church, I spent 5 weeks on these verses alone. 5 weeks, and not only that, it is packed with information, and let's just go through it. And I just want to, as we begin, I would do a quick word study. Most of you probably know these words. One, justification. And what is justification? It means just as if I had never sinned. That's what justification is. And to be acquitted, all the charges against me dropped, and being right with God. That's basically what that means. 2, redemption. And I lived in Florida about like 20 for 20 years, and there was a supermarket called Publix. I don't know if any of you know that. Publix supermarket. And back in the days, they used to issue redemption coupons. And it comes in the form of, when you buy so much groceries, they give you little stamps. So you peel off and you put it on, you put it on this, and you collect so much, and then they give you like a dozen eggs. And that's what redemption coupon was. But redemption really means, and somebody came in and paid the debt that you owed. That's what redemption means. He purchased, God purchased us by the shedding of his blood upon the cross. And it is an amazing word. Death, it really means, in Greek word, thanatos, and it means separations. It's just being separated. That's death means. When someone dies, this is just an example. Body is separated from the soul, right? That's death. Spiritual death is being separated forever from God. That's an awful thought that, you know. Anyway, that's the quick word study, propitiation. That's the 25-cent word that I had to learn when I come to the United States. Propitiation. Everyone say propitiation. All right. It's Father accepted what Jesus did, and therefore he satisfied the Father's demand. So propitiation means it's a satisfaction. You know, satisfaction. and the law's penalty to be carried out. Forgiveness, and it has two meanings. The Bible has two meanings. First one is charizomai. It's actually came from the word grace, charizo. You know, the chariz is grace. So it means to favor for someone they could never deserve. And it, for example, it was used, remember the king, this one guy owed, 10,000 talents, right? And he said, the amount of 10,000 talents is one that you cannot repay that on your lifetime. It is, if you compare to that, it is like $200,000. And if you make like $20,000 a year, and you can't repay that. Whatever amount that is, this guy owed, 10,000 talent, and he said he'll repay it. He said, forgive me, but I'll repay it. And king says, all right, I'll forgive your debt. That was the charizomai. It is a favor, undeserved, right? Charizomai. Anyway. So next one is aphiemi. Everyone say aphiemi. Aphiemi. Aphiemi is actually in Leviticus 16. It means send away. It means never to return again. And it was used in like Lord's Prayer and also in the chapter 5 of Romans. It means like what happens in Leviticus 16, they during the sacrifice, a high priest will take the goat into the field, right? And they will lay their hands on the head of goat, right? And the laying of hands signifies transferring all the sins into this goat and send this goat away. And into the field, for all this time, the goat will never return. That means your sins sent away and never come back, right? I know somebody like probably look for this goat. Where is it? But it's like a forgiveness. It's sending away, never to return. That's what this is more, and it happens more in the Bible in the New Testament than other charizomai. Aphiemi, it's really forgive us our debts. When you pray Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts. That means aphiemi, aphiemi. Okay? Everyone understand? Am I going too fast? Okay, all right. All right. God is at war with sin, and we study from the Romans 1, God gave them up to reprobate mind and the vile affections, and a kind of mind that are lost. And you know that people there, when before we are saved, we had reprobate mind, and we had a vile mind. We had we are lost, unregenerate minds, and we learned this from the first chapter of Romans, that people are doing whatever the things that they were doing, and God gave them up to that lost mind, right? It is the most fearful judgment that can happen from God. I don't want God to leave me alone. You know what happens when God leaves you alone? When you're doing God-awful things in the world and you do all kinds of sins and you say, well, I do all that and nothing happens to me, then maybe God is leaving you alone. Because God left me alone when I was in the middle of heavy sins. God left me alone during that time. I remember. But you know, amazing thing is, God never left me alone. He left me alone, but he didn't leave me alone. I don't know if you can understand that. Because when I was in danger, God protected me. Even among all this awful time, on the darkness, dark season, God always protected me. Anyway, and that in Ephesians 2:3, it says, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? Children of wrath, right? So before that, before we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we were all children of wrath. In other words, God is angry at sin, right? And there's a judgment coming. And the people in the world need to know there is a judgment. There will be in Revelation, when you start reading towards the end of Revelation, you'll see the great white throne. There will be the judgment seats there. And it will be judgment that we have never seen before. God is at war with sin. God has to judge the sins. And I think all of us need to understand that. God is righteous, therefore he has to judge. You get that? That will be the righteous judge. And we were children of wrath, okay? So God's wrath is satisfied through Jesus. So when we come to the obedience of the word of God in accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, God's wrath is satisfied. So people have to go through this process of propitiation. It says, God's wrath has to be satisfied. Therefore, on the cross, Jesus had to face the most horrific wrath of God poured out on himself. Wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? God designed, I think the death by cross is the most cruel, most horrific way someone die, because it takes all day. For Jesus, it started at night and took all day to the late afternoon to die. Isn't that an awful thing? Why? Because of the wrath of God is so horrific. It poured out on the body, one righteous man's body for all of us. That's why the propitiation, satisfaction is there. Anyway, the God's anger and wrath, all sins were poured out to the cross, and it was perfect payment, right? So salvation is eternal, and so many people think still continuing in you have to do a righteous thing in order to keep your salvation, but it's not. None of us can live up to that. If Jesus Christ's death on the cross only covers the time when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you got eternal life, and then you continue in sin, then you lose that salvation. Remember last week I talked about the hair, the permanence. When you get permed, don't look at me like that, like I have to explain this again. When you get permed, from the permanence, right? It's like forever. It's supposed to be, when you get permed, it should last like at least 50 years, right? I mean, that's what the word really means. But no, two months, if you're lucky, 3 months, that's what, and salvation is not like that. Not like that. Anyway, all right, so if fallen, salvation is forfeited? That's not true. Apostle Paul really deals with this very issue in Romans chapter 8. And wait till you get to chapter 8, and it's like a jewel, the awesome chapter of the entire Romans. And when you read and really understand every verse, and you got to cry. You have to really be so overwhelmed with joy and because all things work together for good. I was holding on to that verse when I was falling into sin, because I know the promise of God is always true, right? Even though I know my life is not great, I shouldn't say, it's not expected, but in my heart, I was Christian, right? I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was younger, and I was a young person. And then there was always a desire to be right with God all the time. So you held on to that verse, And I think God honored that. You know, when you hold on to that verse, Word of God, with your life depends on it, I think God honors that. Amen? You don't believe so? All right. Verse 1. It says, having been justified by faith, it is a faith that justifies, believing, relying, and dependence of living God. It's the faith. And a lot of people, you know, when I went through Bible college, we talked about this. Oh, what I mean. Time really should fly. I really need to go. All right, let me just say this. What kind of faith that is a saving faith is like that. I just put my son Joseph. When he was young, he went to YMCA. I know I told this story, but I think it's safe to say it again. And he couldn't swim. He was like 6 or 7 years old, and he was holding onto the edge of the swimming pool, and he'd move his feet, right? And then he was on the regular ground, not in the pool anymore. And I was in the middle of the swimming pool, and water came to this, and I said, Joseph, come, jump. I catch you. You know what he did? He went back, and he ran, and he jumped. And when he jumped, I saw his face. He looked like so happy. He didn't know how to swim, right? And he was he had no doubt in his mind that I will catch him. What if, oops, what if I went that, then he would be drowned. No, he had no worries. He jumped, and I caught him. I think that's what faith is. You jump, it doesn't matter leaving all the worries behind, right? You jump and relying on God's hand. All right, so much for that. And we have been declared righteous by faith. It is God who places his righteousness. And if it is truly God who did that, verse 1 says it's already happened, right? We have been justified by faith. Having been justified, right? It already happened. We have peace with God, and it's distinguished from the peace of God. It is different. And I was going to talk about that, but we don't have a time. I got to rush. All right. We can't keep the salvation by keeping the law, and we already discussed this issue. So justification happens so we have a peace with God right now. It's a relationship. It's the right now we have. We are in relationship of peace, not like North and South Korea. You know, it's not peace. You know, it is peaceful right now, right? There's no actual war going on, but they're not at peace, you see? Germany is at peace. There, East and West Germany no longer exist, all right? We were enemies of God before, but not anymore. That's the peace. Not a feeling, it's not emotion, it's not, you know, a feeling peaceful, it's a state, it's a fact. All the work of salvation was done and completed Jesus Christ himself. So I want us to really understand salvation is eternal. And Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Isn't this an amazing verse? Steps of some versions say steps of a righteous man are ordered. It is ordered. This should comfort you. And you can hold on to this. You can take the people say, you can take this to the bank. this should comfort you. All right. So we have a peace. All right. I think I have like 3 or 4 points, but I think we can only cover this enough. Having been justified by faith, we have a peace with God. Now, as we have is present active indicative. That is a Greek grammar. Present active is voice, indicative is a state. Now, present active indicative means we have, means we continue to have. We are having, we have is present tense. In Greek, those of us who study Greek understand this, we have means you're going to have a peace in the tomorrow, and the next day, next year, and 10 years from now, we have. It's already done. We are already having. It's already done, all right? So peace with God, peace means, you know, when I study the word peace means irene in Greek, it means something glued together. You know, it's like put something, two of them put together with glue. So we have a bonded relationship with God. Isn't that good? That's what peace means. We have a bonded relationship. You cannot take it apart. It's not an emotional state. So peace is not psychological. I already talked about that. So justification by faith means God's declaring us righteous. We are acquitted, right? We are no longer an enemy of God. We became his children. Darkness is past. We are not a child of Satan anymore. Now the kingdom of God. So you gotta forgive me for going. I seem to going a little faster than I really want to, but there are a lot of material to cover. Our sins are paid. Our debts are satisfied. That's really exactly opposite of Romans 1, isn't it? Our sins are paid. All the sinners under the wrath of God, right? We are exactly opposite. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what peace means. We have a peace. There's no more condemnation, you know. And no one can come to us and place accusation. I don't know about you, but this is really a big deal for me. You know how many people really accused me or point finger at me? You know, when I was using out there, I was a socially outcast too. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and everyone knew that I was using. Church people knew, and I came to a pastor, said confessed that pastor, I have a drug problem, and pray for me. And next thing I know, that he's telling to the brotherhood of the church, and everyone knew, and people that, who didn't even have a faith came to me, hey, I'm there for you, buddy. You know, I really didn't appreciate that. I feel like I shared my heart, and you know that. And he's telling, and because, I don't know whether it's because of it, but now I'm thinking it is the plan of God, that God allowed that to happen, that I was socially cast in, and I was going everywhere. Everyone recognized me. I'm saying everyone, but all the Koreans recognized me. You know, Koreans have a very small community. And I go to the gas station, they said, oh, you are Sam's father. Yes. And then she went around and went, it's $35. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, that was it. And some people say, I went to church and I was trying to get back up. It says, you know, every time I see you, it brings me bad luck. This is in church. I don't want to see you. And I had to really struggle with that because do I keep go to church? Do I keep pray? I'm going to the morning prayer. I'm every time the church doors open, I'm going there to worship. But people are really against me, accusing me, you know. Anyway, let me just continue. This is a big deal for me. No one can accuse you. Even Satan. Satan cannot accuse you because you have peace with God. Amen? It is a big deal. It is a big deal. You're not a loser anymore. You're not a failure anymore. You know how many people told me I was a failure? Including my own family? How many people can relate to that? All right, put your hand down. I didn't mean to ask you. All right, you're not a failure anymore. You're not a loser anymore. God has redeemed you. God has rescued you and called you. You are his child. You're God's family. No one can touch you. No one can touch you. There is therefore no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, even from you. How about that? Isn't that a big deal?
Yeah.
You can't even accuse you. You're so peaceful. You're so at peace. You can't accuse you yourself. So you can look at your mirror, say, you are blessed. Say to people next to you, you are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. Amen? All right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Okay. All right. I have a couple more points, but I don't think we have enough time, do we? Maybe one more point. All right. Through whom we have also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I really need to talk about this because now we have access. It says verse 2, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It says, you know, people did not have access before, right? We couldn't pray to the Lord, right? They before, Old Testament saints, they pray through high priests. High priest can only go to the Holy of Holy once a year. So, and if you, they in the meaning of a presence of God is a fearful thing. Remember the Samson's parents? When angel of the Lord appeared, it was God's presence, right? It says, you saw God? Oh, that's it, you're dead. You know, that's the way people thought. If you're in the presence of God, it was fearful. When Moses went up to the Horeb mountain, the people were afraid, afraid of God's presence. But not like we have a different culture now, Christian culture. And God the Father is different image. But, you know, being in God's presence is one thing, but surviving is a different thing. You know, and but we have access by faith into this grace. It's not a common place. It's a place of grace. Let me just stop the PowerPoint because I know I'm not going to be able to finish all the points. It says this, we have access by faith into this grace. Our salvation is secure, not only because of all that, not because of all that we already have, you know, peace with God, our propitiations and all that happened, but because it is done by grace. It is a grace that we stand. Bible says we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in this. We stand in this. We stand in grace. Not something we did, such a great thing we've done, but we are standing in the grace of God. Because it's freely given to us. It is grace that extended to us. And we stand on that, and that's why we can rejoice. And we need to understand this access is a reason why we are so secure. That's why we are secure. Because one of the most favorite word vocabulary in all the Bible, I know we got so many favorite words, but grace is by far one on the top, really. Grace. That's why our church name, the Korean church that I pastor, was a grace all nations. I thought we are extending this grace to the all nations, right? No. Romans 5, I challenge all of us to read through the rest of the chapter because at the end, Dave, would you hit the last slide for me? Last slide. And this is the one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. One of the greatest verses, including Jesus Christ became a sin for us. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for when you are great, doing wonderful things. So you don't have to be afraid or fearful or doubtful whether you're going to lose your salvation or you're going to have to come and do another baptism again. You don't have to think about it like that. Nothing like that. Your salvation is secure. Just like your relationship with God is secure. God will not divorce us. Jesus will not divorce us. Right? We are his children. He will not reject us. He promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of times. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Fathers, how awesome it is to every time when we reflect upon your word. Your word always encourages us, give us confidence, more and more love to you. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, all the voices that are trying to place doubt and fear into our minds, I pray in the name of Jesus to bind those lies. Satan, you have no place in here. You have no place in our lives. Out of my mind, out of our lives, out of our church, out of our relationship. Get out, Satan. Get out, demon. Lord, thank you for being with us. Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our lives. Lead us. Complete us. Fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.